This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Driving down the road here in town, and I came across a billboard. It was at the Four Corners, I believe, between 23 and 18, and there was, I think I saw it as I was heading eastbound on 18. There was a billboard, and on the billboard, it had a picture of a man, and he was hunched over, kind of kneeling down and hunched over, and he had his hood up. And he was looking to this little boy who is standing there. And there wasn't much words on the billboard, except in kind of medium-sized letters off to the side, there was a phrase that was hashtag dedication. Hashtag dedication. And then in tiny letters in the bottom corner, it said fatherhood.gov. And as I looked at that billboard, it was really sad to some extent, because it showed me that the government is realizing finally that there is a problem in our society. But it was really sad because I personally feel like it was partially the government that contributed to the problem. And now they've got this program to try to fix the problem. And if you go on the website, the program, you could tell there's a desire to try to fix the problem, but it's lacking one thing. It's lacking the truth of God to fix the problem. Because the problem that it's addressing is that in our society, there's such an issue of fatherless homes or neglect of children because of the neglect of a father. And God is in the business of fixing that. He gave us the standard of how a family should be, what a family should look like in His Word. And Father's Day is a good opportunity to look into God's Word about that role of a father. In the years past that I've been here for Father's Day, we've done that. We've looked at the role of a father. But this morning is going to be a little bit different, because sometimes there's a call for Christians to take up that role, but sometimes every situation is different. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. And a family may go through great difficulty of having a father who's not present, or whether he's present physically, he's not present in his heart. And so this message is to show us that when all earthly relationships may fail, there is one who is faithful, and it is God Almighty. And so this morning we are going to look at the faithfulness of the Father, because when all else fails, we can turn to God knowing that He is faithful when others are not. The government contributed to the problem. Society contributed to the problem. God shows Himself as the faithful Father to His creation, and particularly to His church. And you have might experienced in your life the struggles of unfaithfulness in a family relationship, whether father, mother, however, it doesn't matter. But what I want us to see is on this Father's Day is that God the Father is a faithful Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. And when all earthly relationships may fall short, God the Father will be a rock of refuge for you, a steadfast love enduring forever. So before we jump into the bulk of our message, I just want to clarify with two things to kind of prime our hearts and minds about looking at God as a faithful Father. The first is this: the concept of God as a Father was new when Jesus came. You see, in the Old Testament, the Jews had the revelation of God through Moses and through the law, and But when you read the Old Testament, this idea as God as a father is not really present. God is seen as the God, the Lord, the King, the ruler. But there's very rarely an instance when you come across God as Heavenly Father. It's there. There's a handful of verses that describe God as a Father. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6 says, "Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is He not your Father who bought you? Has He not made you and established you?" Or Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter, and all we are is the work of your hands." And Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, where is my honor?" So there's a couple of verses in the Old Testament, but the overall arching revelation of God is not that, is that He is God and Lord. And God did that because He wanted to show the world His holiness and His righteousness and how great He is and grand He is. But He also wanted to show the world how He's a Father. And that's why, one of the reasons why, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. To reveal to the world that not only is God holy and just, but He's a Father. Now, God's character didn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He was just as holy and just in the New as He was in the Old. He was just as heavenly a Father in the Old as He was in the New. But God chose that throughout time He would reveal different aspects of His personality. In the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, and I may not be 100% accurate, you can fact check me if you want, but the Old Testament, the word Father is used 564 times. And you can probably count on your hands the number of times that word Father is used to describe God. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ alone refers to God as Father 44 times in Matthew. 5 times in Mark, 17 times in Luke, 118 times in John, 2 times in Acts, 3 times in Revelation. That's a total of 189 times just by Jesus Christ alone. There's 83 times by the other apostles and some of the Jews, for a total of 272 times out of the 366 times the singular word Father is used in the Bible. So God intended that this was going to be a new revelation. It didn't change. He was always who He is, but He wanted to show the world that He is a Father. Now, the second thing we want to clarify is that some people I've talked to in the past about my faith, and they've said to me, "Well, we are all God's children. We are all God's children." And you know what? That's true. If somebody tells you that, that is true to some extent. Because God has created every single one of us on this earth. And Paul even clarifies that in Acts chapter 17. He talks about, he's standing before pagan Greeks. They believe in multitudes of gods, and he's telling them about the one true God. And he quotes their own poets, who says, "Even your poet says we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art or man's devising." But in a very unique and particular sense, God is a Father only to those who have been born again into the family of God. Jesus was talking to the Jews and they rejected Christ, and Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." And then He said this, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do." He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Then Jesus says this, he is a liar and the father of lies. What Jesus was saying is that there is something special and unique to being in an intimate relationship with God the Father through Christ. And I remember we had this conversation in Sunday school recently, and we kind of thought of this idea like, think of our country, we have America. And we can say in one sense that George Washington was our father. You know, he's a father of this country, we are American citizens, and so in some extent, George Washington is his father, but not everyone in this room this morning can say, George Washington is my father. Or I am in the lineage of George Washington. Maybe you are. I don't know. I had a classmate who was related to Abraham Lincoln. But you see the difference there. To some extent, we are all God's children because He's the creator of all the world. He's created every single human being. But there's something about being in the actual family of God through Christ that's unique. And that's what we want to look at here this morning. For the remainder of this message, we want to talk about this intimate, unique, special, wonderful relationship that you can have with God, where He will be a faithful Father to you and a Father committed to the purest, truest form of hashtag dedication. Anything less then the faithfulness of God the Father will be imperfect. So we're going to look at first, the Father is faithful to His invitation. Second, the Father is faithful to your adoption. Third, the Father is faithful to your growth. And fourth, the Father is faithful to your inheritance. So first, if you're in the book of John already, we'll look at this verse that was read to us first. The Father is faithful to His invitation. Look in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. You see, we naturally, as human beings, are not part of the family, unique, special family of God. We are born in sin in a fallen world, and our sin, our disobedience, our rebellion has estranged us from God, estranged us from that family. We are not by nature part of His family. And the Bible says that Christ came to give an invitation. He came to give an invitation into that family. Verse 11, He came to His own. His own did not receive Him. That was the Jews specifically. But in verse 12, but as many as received Him. To them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. His invitation is for all. Although all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, although all have been estranged from the family of God, God the Father today is extending an invitation to all to become His child. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That's spiritually speaking of believing in Him. John chapter 7, verse 38, if anyone comes to me and drink, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, may he shall live. John chapter 12, verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will He honored. John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. You kind of get the point. The invitation is for all to come into the family of God. And I think it's summed up pretty nicely in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, we cannot forget Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let whom he who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. This invitation is today for you specifically, even though you get these whoevers and these anyones, you think just everyone in general, this invitation is for you as if you were the only human being on planet Earth. The invitation and the call would be for you to accept the invitation to become a part of the family of God. And somebody might say, God wouldn't want me part of the family. What? God wouldn't want me. I'm just too much not like God. He wouldn't want me. Well, friend, I want to tell you something. If God did not want you as part of His family, you would have never heard about Jesus Christ coming to the earth. You would have never heard about this man 2,000 years ago who came to this earth. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth for you to invite you to be His child and part of His family. For you specifically. And so the Father is faithful to that invitation. The call is, the invitation is out, and the call is for you to accept the invitation. The invitation is out here this morning for you to accept the invitation to become a part of the family of God. Will you accept it this morning? The Father is faithful to His invitation. Secondly, the Father is faithful to your adoption. Adoption. Look at verse 12 of John 1. As many as received Him, as many as accepted the invitation, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To them He gave the right. That word right, it can also mean authority. To them He gave the legal authority and right to be a child of the living God who created the heavens and the earth. What is adoption? I saw this definition. I think it sums it up. A legal proceeding that creates a parent-child relation between persons not related by blood. Okay, that's significant. They're not related by blood. With the adopted child being entitled to all privileges belonging to a natural child, including the right to inherit. That's what adoption is. And you see, when someone accepts the invitation for the gospel, they are adopted into the family. They're not related by blood. The natures were different. There was an estrangement because of sin. But then when they are adopted, it is as if they are related by blood to God. I remember many of you have heard of Vivian Gast, a sweet woman of God who passed away a couple years ago, and I would go and visit her in the nursing home here in town. And her body was failing. Her mind was pretty good. But she would sometimes forget things that she told me already. And nearly every time that I would go to visit her, she would look up at me and she'd have a beaming smile and she'd say, I'm adopted, you know. She said, I'm adopted. My mother didn't want me, but I was adopted, and my adopted mother raised me to love Jesus. Almost every time she would tell me that. And I thought to myself, here is a woman who has been blessed to be adopted into a family that loves Christ, but has also and ultimately been adopted into the family of God. So she had joy in her heart until that final day came when the Lord took her home, sweet home. Well, if you accept the invitation and you are adopted, there will be times, I'm sure, where you will say to yourself, I don't feel like His child. You know, because God is kind of this holy nature and I struggle with that. I just don't feel like His child. I don't feel like it. That's the beauty of adoption. An adopted child may wake up one morning and say, I just don't feel like the child of my adopted parents. But that doesn't matter. It's a legally sealed deal. You are given that title. You are given that right. It is not by feelings, and God Himself sealed the deal by His Holy Spirit. Look in Galatians. If you have your Bibles, you can jump ahead to Galatians chapter 4, and you'll see that the Holy Spirit was given to seal the deal, that you are a child of God if you have accepted the invitation of Christ dying for your sins on the cross. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says this, and because you are sons, okay, jump back to verse 4. We got to see this here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, His real Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption as sons, okay? Receive the invitation. And verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit of the living God is the stamp upon the adoption papers confirming that you are God's child. And the Spirit testifying with your spirit in your heart says, I am a child of God. I may not always feel it, but the Spirit is given. It is a sealed deal. He promised. I can call out to Him, Abba, Father. Many of you know this. The word Abba. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does Abba mean? Daddy. Daddy. Imagine having the privilege and right. It's an Aramaic word. Imagine having the privilege and right to come before the Creator of everything that you see around you, all the beauty of creation that hasn't been corrupted by sin, seeing all that God is, all the holiness of God that was revealed in the Old Testament, and be able to approach that God and call Him Daddy. What an honor and privilege. And God is faithful to that adoption. He has sealed it with His own blood through the Son of Jesus Christ on the cross. He has sealed it by the Holy Spirit that has been given to you as a deposit guaranteeing that which is to come. What greater authority is needed to prove that He is your Father and you are His child? If you have turned away from the empty life of sin, believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, accepted the free gift of the invitation into the family of God, given your heart and life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says and God says that He has sent His Holy Spirit into your heart as a seal, guaranteeing your salvation and guaranteeing your adoption, legally declaring you as an adopted child of God. And God Almighty is faithful to that adoption. He is faithful. No greater authority, you see, in this world when you've got adoptions. Okay? You got the paperwork. And you got to go to the judge or whatever, the court system, and things have to be settled. There's always a higher authority to kind of settle it, to make it official. What greater authority is there than God Almighty? There is none. And so when God declares you His child, it's settled. It's sealed. The Father is faithful to your adoption. Thirdly, the Father is faithful to your growth. The Father is faithful to your growth. When you accept the invitation into the family of God, when you are sealed and adopted into the family of God, what happens? Does God just give you the adoption paper and say, here, you're my child, go off into the world and have fun. It's done now, I'll see you someday, just run along now. That's not what God does. If God is going to become your Heavenly Father, God is going to become your Heavenly Father. And He is going to be faithful to you as His child to grow you up, to be like what He is in all godliness and righteousness. When God adopts you, He becomes your Father. And He becomes personally involved in every single little aspect of your life. My wife and I are expecting a child. I don't know what it's like, but I assume that when you're a father and you've got a little one who's, yay high, and they're running around, you know, you're there following them, making sure that they don't run off a cliff, making sure they don't run into the road, making sure that they're okay, making sure that they're not getting hurt. You're there. You're leading them. You're guiding them. How much more would a perfect, holy, just, loving God watch over you, His child, when you are adopted into His family? And sometimes that hurts, you know. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll see how God does become your Father, both in title and in practice. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." What does that word chastening mean? It means discipline. "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us," you know, disciplined us as seemed best to them, "but He for our profit, that we may be partakers in His holiness." Now just look at verse 11 there. Now no chastening, no discipline, seems to be joyful for the present. Okay? No one likes to have the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, if you are adopted in the family of God, God is going to see that you grow. That you grow up in your faith, that you become more like your Father. And you know, it may not always be that you did something wrong. It just may be that God is putting you into a circumstance to grow you. He's taking the training wheels off of the bike. He's stepping you up, so He's involved. And you might be tempted to think to yourself, well, all these difficult things are going on in my life. God must not love me. All these difficult things are going on in my life. God must not care about me. God must not see my situation. Brethren, that is a lie of lies straight from the bowels of the devil. The very fact that God is allowing difficult circumstances in your life, the very fact that you're going through trials is evidence that He is trying to grow you. You see, before I became a Christian, I became a Christian, gave my heart to the Lord when I was 19. In my mid and later teenage years, I didn't receive much discipline growing up. I kind of did what I wanted and I kind of got away with it. Just the way, the environment I was in. A lot of it was, you know, behind people's backs, but for the most part, the stuff that was in and out in the open, it kind of was. My mom tried to ground me once. I just smirked at her when she told me I was being grounded. When I became a Christian, things changed. And thank you to all those who knew me in those very early years of my salvation and had to personally witness the discipline of God in my life. But all of a sudden, my actions had these consequences. I felt guilty. I felt things weren't always just getting thrown under the rug. I realized instantly that there's somebody who's caring about what I do. And at first it seemed hard, and at first it was a kick to my pride. But looking back, I see that that means that somebody was involved to love me enough to want to see me change and see me become more like God. For the life of a child of God, tough times show us that God is faithfully involved in your spiritual growth. And you may think, well, what about other people? I see other Christians and other people, they don't have anything going difficult in their life. They have no struggles and no difficulties. Well, first off, we don't know their hearts. We know our hearts. We know our relationship with God. We don't know if there are some deep internal struggles that nobody knows about except them and God. But secondly, there's a solemn statement there in Hebrews, if you're still open, verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. If there is no involvement of God in your life, it may be because God is not in your life. And you have not received this invitation. And so may that be a reminder when we are struggling in our faith, that means God is there strengthening us, growing us, seeing us to be more partaking in His holiness. So we've seen that the faithful is Father to His invitation, to your adoption, to your growth. Finally, the Father is faithful to your inheritance. You see, when you become a child of God, you don't only gain the sufficient, perfect blessing of being in the family of God, related to God, a child of God, where He is your Father. The Bible says that God the Father has an inheritance for you. The Bible says that you are an heir. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Or in Hebrews, jump ahead two books. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has what? Has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance. God has promised an inheritance to those who are His children. And look at verse 4, an inheritance incorruptible. That means it's imperishable. That means it'll never rust. That means it'll never fade. Undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. God has an eternal, blissful, joyous inheritance that He has reserved in heaven for you. And He will never, ever take that away if you are His child. You are an heir of God and co-heir with Christ, the Bible says. Now, someone might say, well, maybe God will change His mind. You know, I stumble and fall. Maybe God will all of a sudden, He says, you know what? Final straw, you blew it. It's out. James chapter 1 throws that away. It says, do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from who? The Father of lights. With whom there is no variation. No shadow of turning. No changing my mind. No, okay, I turn my backs on you. That's not true if you're a child of the living God. That inheritance is sure. That inheritance is secure. And it'll never perish, spoil, or fade. The Father is faithful. He has faithfully given you an invitation. He has faithfully given you an adoption. He has faithfully be involved in your life for your growth. And He is faithful to your inheritance. The fatherly love of God toward you, brothers and sisters, His child, is not based on your feelings. It's not based on your efforts. It's not based on your works. An adopted child doesn't have to act like a child to be a legal child of the family. The fatherly love of God Almighty is based on His faithfulness, His holy character, to His name as a faithful Father. I read this story of a ministry leader. I think it pretty much sums up how faithful God is to us, to our growth. He describes how the pediatrician said that there was an infection in his son's ear, and that the infection had adhered itself to the eardrum and could only be treated by pulling the scab loose with a steel instrument. During the operation, the son began to scream with pain and terror. And his father had to come and hold him down on the examination table. And after hearing what had to be done, this father took a big gulp and he took his son and wrapped him up in his big old arms around this little toddler. And he says this was the toughest moment in his career. He said, what made it so emotional was the horizontal mirror that my son was facing on the backside of the examination table. This made it possible for him to look directly at me as he screamed for mercy. I really believe I was in greater agony in that moment than my terrified little boy. Though he was screaming and couldn't speak, he was talking to me with those big blue eyes. He was saying, Daddy, why are you doing this to me? I thought you loved me. I didn't think you would ever do something like this to me. Please stop hurting me. But it was impossible to explain that he was doing this to his son. It was necessary for his own good, that he was trying to help him, and that it was love that required him to hold that son on the table. And that is what the fatherly God will do for you to grow you. You may not understand. You may not know why. But He is faithful to help you in all circumstances. 2,000 years ago, God the Father held His Son down on the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross that His Son went to. He held him down, only this time the son didn't kick and scream. The son did it willingly. The reason why is because by going on the cross, the son laid aside his right as a son, laid aside his title to take upon the title of an estranged son, a rebellious son. So that you and I, as an estranged daughter and son, can take on the title of a son and daughter of God. Someone here this morning might be saying, I'm not sure that God is my father. I'm not sure that I am His child. Friend, you can be sure today. The invitation is extended to you. The adoption papers are ready, signed with the blood of Jesus, ready for you to accept. Will you accept it this morning? Will you accept the invitation? Won't you bow with me in prayer? Father God in heaven, I pray that if anyone here this morning has not been sealed with the Holy Spirit, signed in agreement the adoption papers, they would know. They would say, oh God, I'm not your child. Oh God, I have sinned against you. I have rebelled against you. I have rebelled. I have wandered. And I just heard from your word that you want me to be your child. That you want me in your family. Father, I turn from my sin and I become your child. I turn away from that empty life and I receive your life. Forgive me. O Holy Spirit, come into my heart and seal me with the status of being a child. And Father, I accept your care for me. I accept your fatherly care to guide me through this life, to bring me into the eternal kingdom ahead. If anyone has prayed that prayer in sincerity and accepted that invitation, would you please speak to me and share with me what has just happened? Father God, for all of us who are your children, may we never forget that you love us. May we never forget that you care about every single aspect of our lives. May we never forget that you want to see us grow to be more like your Son, Jesus. May we never forget that we have an inheritance waiting for us. And may we be faithful in this life as we await the next. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.